This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they do a great job of switching the looks that they're giving. Obviously, we know about Chris Jones. He's a game wrecker, one of the best, if not the best, interior D-lineman in the game right now. You pair that up with some of their DBs and linebackers, they're flying all over the field. They got guys that are really gap sound in the run game as well. So, again, we're going to have our hands full. It's a very good unit that we're about to face.
You know who that is. That's the quarterback. That's Josh Allen. Talking about the Chiefs and the sneaky good defense that they've had for several years now. I have to say, I have all the respect in the world for Chris Jones.
One
for like helping, like kind of be like, hey, yeah, Buffalo's a legit place.
They have the best wings, all that stuff.
Like basically saying everything that Jonnu Smith was trying to like not say about the Bills, he is saying. But it's also one of the best guys in the game when it comes to the sport. Like he is a guy who makes plays. He is one of the top players in the league. And I respect Chris Jones because it's hard to admit it, but he ruined their divisional round last year. Josh Allen has Khalil Shakir in the middle of the end zone wide open, and he shorts it. Why is he short it? It was a great bull rush by Jones on Deion Dawkins.
Dawkins steps on Josh Allen's toe.
And but the thing is that it actually interrupts his throwing motion.
It does.
And the thing is that that's when you go ahead and look up and say, yeah, other teams have good players and they make good plays. But if Chris Jones doesn't make that play, the Bills score a touchdown, and now Kansas City is required to march down the entirety of the field. How much different is everything if that play doesn't get made? Outcome, fans in quotation marks, I should say, despicable people.
aren't making threats
to Tyler Bass.
Yeah.
And probably the confidence issues that were going on throughout for him, they probably kind of subside. In that sense, too.
Here's the thing. It goes back to the same point everyone makes with the Scott Norwood thing. Should he have ever been in that position?
No. Probably not.
No.
No. And should Tyler Bass have been the one to leave it up to when it only would have tied the game? Hell no.
Right. The Chiefs have gone down in 13 seconds on the Bills before.
To score a field goal.
There was over a minute left in the game. Almost two.
But there's a difference between tying a game with a field goal and taking the lead with a touchdown.
Right. But they could have won it with a field goal if they just wasted the clock because you just tied the game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so it's like they didn't have to go far.
Quite honestly, I think Tyler Bass's miss in there kind of like helped alleviate any potential future pain of making it worse.
Mm-hmm. Right, getting hooked back on for the last
minute. My point is that Chris Jones is one of the best in the league, and the Bills' offensive line has been relatively good, but he still terrorizes them because that's what good players do. That's what great players do, I should say. That's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I respect the hell out of Chris Jones and what he does because, again, he is a fantastic player. By the way, Barnes firm injury report for this game. No Keon Coleman, no Dalton Kincaid. Matt Milano obviously still out as well as he's got the injured reserve practice window open. Amari Cooper, officially questionable. Spencer Brown at right tackle, questionable. We talked about the Bills' offensive line. They might have to settle in with their first setback if Spencer Brown cannot go. We haven't had the Bills offensive line dealing with injuries a lot over the last couple of seasons. Yeah, you heard it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real challenge.
Very much so.
Do I think that David Edwards can step up and play relatively well? Yes. Do I want him to have to be there? Probably not. Spencer Brown has his issues with, like, you know, the penalties this year, but otherwise he's been playing good football. And if he's banged up, well, he might not be able to bring the same quality that he is capable of. That could be a big deal, and it's something that we're going to have to look out for in that game. Mm-hmm. Is the health of Spencer Brown, or if he does not play, what does the matchup on the right tackle look like?
Yeah, because that could get interesting.
It can get interesting, and interesting doesn't always mean good.
No, because you also don't have Dalton Kincaid.
The Sabres are interesting.
Right, yeah.
Sabres are also 8-1.
Right, but you don't have Dalton Kincaid, who helps Spencer Brown block on that side quite a bit, right?
Yes. Like,
there are pieces missing that. And Dawson Knox, if I had to pick an X factor for this game, Derek, I might be a little unorthodox here, but Dawson Knox historically against the Chiefs has played very well, and the Chiefs can't really, they don't do a great job guarding tight ends. And Dawson Knox, coming off that wrist injury last season, had a dip in production. The Dawson drops allegations came back for him. Everybody was going after him, right? I've been a believer. He's still my number one jersey pick, and I think he's going to have a big game. I think he at least tallies a touchdown and maybe close, I'd say around 75 yards of receiving. I think he makes some big plays for them, but he's my X factor for them this week.
You know
week.
Who's going to be my X factor this week? You talked on Orthodox. I'm going to take it like
even
to
further.
11. I'm taking it to 11, but it's also not tongue-in-cheek at all.
Okay.
Matt Collins.
Yeah, he tracked deep balls last week.
He tracked deep balls last week. He also was the leading receiver against Indianapolis. 4 catches, 86 yards on 4 targets. And guess what? Last week, or the week prior against Miami, 5 catches on 5 targets, 30 yards and a touchdown.
He's starting to be a pretty reliable receiver.
The inconsistency on the targets with him have kind of shaken out. Most infamously, the 2 losses, Baltimore-Houston. He had 3 catches on 12 targets in those 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Hollins, the other part was against Miami, he was cooking them and drawing penalties too. Those were not on the stat sheet. Mac Hollins does look like he's becoming more of what they envisioned of him being, this like pseudo wide receiver 3 in a pinch.
Yeah.
No Keon Coleman. Amari Cooper's questionable.
Okay, Mac.
Wide receiver 3 in a pinch.
And you have Shakir and Mac, and you're fine.
And you've got Curtis Samuel.
You being used as a wide receiver last week. Look at the difference that made.
Yes.
Instead of a gadget receiver.
Yes.
Like, seriously. He needs to be utilized like that, and he probably will this weekend.
What I'm saying is Mac Hollins has had himself a quietly good last couple of weeks,
mm-hmm.
and that will be important. Your depth often gets tested in injury moments like these, especially at a wide receiver position that you're banged up in. But who's stepped up as of late? Mac Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Hollins is going to be an important piece here for what you do.
Yep. And I go with Knox too, because he's made a couple big catches.
Now here comes my other big thing about this game.
Okay.
And it's this. Travis Kelce is going to get his. He loves to torment the Bills, and it's going to happen no matter what. And I need everyone to be okay with that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I need y'all to be okay with Travis Kelce having 7 catches and you seeing Taylor Swift on the screen 15 times. You have to be okay with it, okay? Deal with it. It's what happens with the Bills and Chiefs. What do the Bills do, though, in those regular season wins against the Chiefs? Travis Kelce still gets his. But what the Bills do best when they face Kansas City and win is they limit what others do.
Yeah.
They mitigate the damage from the rest of the team. In that playoff loss this past year, in the divisional round, who got going for them, in addition to Kelce? Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
And Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
MVS. That's right. He made the...
He tracked down deep balls and made catches
right.
when he was infamous for starting to drop passes.
And he couldn't do it in the regular season at all. He just somehow learned.
And then he shows up in Buffalo, makes a couple of those plays. Then Buffalo signs him. He's not cracking the roster. He gets cut. Casually goes out in the first half with New Orleans last week.
And just kills it.
3 catches for like 127 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
Like, bro, you're trolling us and I respect it, but at the same time, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
You selfishly want it for your own fan base, but it's like, I got to respect it, man.
Yeah.
You know, good for you.
Well,
good for you that you're actually getting the production again, and it stinks that it wasn't coming here because I want it.
Right. But look at the Bills' wide receiver room. It wasn't going to happen.
There were too many faces, but the problem is that, you know, you didn't see that from him at all in Buffalo either.
Not even in training camp. He didn't look like he was going to be doing any of that.
Exactly. So it's kind of like a wash your hands of the situation thing. But I think, though, that Mac Hollins is going to be important. But also, you got to limit what the Chiefs do outside of that. And includes Mr. infamously getting the Bills fan base angry in late April, Xavier Worthy. If he makes a play or two, guys and gals, don't freak out. It's okay. But has he been doing anything really all that important this season?
Not really.
Keon Coleman has been the better receiver. Dwayne Carter was a great addition to that trade. So if anyone wants to say anything complaining about that trade ever again, and I will drop hands with some people in this building if I have to.
And it's not going to be staged.
You're wrong, and it's okay. It's okay to be wrong. The Bills helped themselves with that trade. We're done with it once and for all.
The peace
treaty. I'm done with it.
The treaty's been signed.
No, this is not a treaty to be signed. This is a note basically from like Parks and Rec where it says I can do whatever I want.
You're Ron Swanson-ing right now.
I'm Ron Swanson-ing this moment right now of if anyone has a problem with Xavier Worthy in this game tomorrow, just know the Bills, A, have the better receiver, and B, when he comes back, Dwayne Carter is a disturber on the defensive line in a year where Ed Oliver has been quiet.
Yeah, a rookie from Duke comes in and he's making splashes.
Hey, you know,
and you wouldn't have had that pick if you didn't trade that.
You wouldn't have had that pick if you made that trade. Oh, man. Oh.
How upset I am.
Also, I didn't get the same conversation of, oh, the Bills helped the Carolina Panthers get Xavier Legette.
Right.
Isn't that what happened, too?
It's exactly what happened.
Yeah, they traded down with Carolina. But we don't hear that. Don't let the Chiefs live in your head, even if they win on Sunday. Time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Luke in Rochester. Luke, welcome to a Sports Talk Saturday. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Listen, Worthy is the new Roscoe Parrish. But anyway, that's not my main thought.
Yeah.
I appreciate your trepidation about the game. Of course, the Chiefs can win. They won the last two Super Bowls. But, like, Mahomes hasn't really been playing well this year or even last year. And unlike what you guys just said, I think Kelce has markedly slowed down this year. But he's kind of sluggish. Their whole team, the way they've been winning, the way you guys have described, kind of reminds me a few years ago when the Steelers won 10-0 and then they proceeded to lose 5 out of their next 6 games. I'm not saying that's going to happen with the Chiefs because, like you guys mentioned, it's really the Bills and the Steelers that are going to primary challenge. Maybe the Texans if they get Collins back and some other players. But there is no way the Bills are losing this game unless turnover differential is like 2+ or McDermott makes some kind of silly coaching gaffe. And if things play out where Allen continues to play pretty steady and interception free, Bills will pancake that team the way they're playing. Mahomes even knows it because he appealed to his team to play better as if he could magically summon them to all suddenly have a great game. That's what it's going to take for the Chiefs to really beat the Bills this week. And if Knox doesn't step up, it'll be really disappointing. And finally, your point about Jones, that was a stellar play. It wasn't so stellar on Dawkins' part. Hopefully Dawkins plays a lot better against Jones than he did in that divisional game. Go Bills.
Luke, I appreciate the call. There's a lot there to get to. The thing is that Travis Kelce gets his against the Bills. And yeah, everyone could be like, oh, it was AJ Klein playing after being on the couch. The thing is that this historically happens with him. But it's also they're force-feeding Travis Kelce this year. During the call, Joe saw my face like light up with like bug eyes, Adam Gay style.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what was going on there.
And I'll get to that stat in a moment. However, when it comes down to it, as Luke said, I don't know if the same thing happens. Like, there's a lot of similarities with that Pittsburgh team from 2020. Even as bad as he's playing, Mahomes is still miles and miles better than the quarterback of the Steelers in 2020. It was the shell of Ben Roethlisberger. They are a better football team than that. And the rest of their schedule is significantly worse than what Pittsburgh had to deal with. I expect them to fully get the one seed. And I don't need to worry about that conversation, honestly. Now, are you ready for the real ridiculous stat that had my eyes bug out Adam Gay style? Travis Kelce leads this team with 499 receiving yards on 60 receptions. Do you know who's second with 288 yards? Do you know who's second?
DeAndre Hopkins?
No. He has 171 yards in three games with the Chiefs, so he's going to definitely get there.
Yeah, he'll get there. I thought he might have already had like a big game. I haven't but watched
Rashee Rice.
It is Rashee Rice, who has played four games this year after getting hurt and being down for the rest of the season, has 288 yards. That is good for second on the Chiefs. Xavier Worthy and his 246 yards are third. Worthy has been bleh. And Mac Hollins is at 197. So yeah. I'm telling you right now, I really don't think we need to worry about Xavier Worthy. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be the big issue.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, Travis Kelce typically gets his against the Bills.
Right.
If you can limit what DeAndre Hopkins does, for the second time this year, by the way, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
But there is a difference between Mason Rudolph and
Mayo
Patrick,
boy.
And Patrick Mahomes throwing the football to you.
There's
a marked difference.
It was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It was Rudolph against Mayo Buffalo. Boy. Yeah.
But Mayo Boy is probably not helping you anything either.
No, listen, you saw this a couple years ago. I think it's kind of a similar thing. When Juju Smith-Schuster first went to the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Bills game, that matchup in Arrowhead that year in the regular season, he got his too, Juju. He had that big spin-off touchdown. He threw a couple of the Bills, I think Poyer off of him, and then ran it into the end zone, right?
Yes.
They're going to each get theirs. The Bills-Chiefs games have always come down to...
Can you limit what the other weapons do?
Hold on to the freaking football and burn the clock out as much as you can and just
when the Bills
score.
When the Bills have been at their best against Kansas City, they run through them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care about the philosophy of holding on to the football. I don't know why it changes in the playoffs. That is why I don't really worry about this, because Luke brought up, you know, like if the Bills lose this game, like maybe it's a coaching decision thing. First of all, I'd rather take that coaching brain fart in the regular season in week 11.
Yeah, than the divisional round or AFC championship.
Yes, rather than in the playoffs in the divisional round against Kansas City. Which basically, based on how the season's going, you're not seeing Kansas City in the divisional round. Can you limit what DeAndre Hopkins is able to do? Can you stop Kareem Hunt from running all over you? Those are the questions that you have to worry about with the Bills here this weekend. And that is what I'm going to key on the most. I'm not scared of Xavier Worthy. Those are words that can come back to haunt me.
Yeah, you got to watch. I can see that whipping around.
But look at the big play metrics. Xavier Worthy this year has two plays of 20-plus yards receiving. Two. Do you know who else has two plays of 20-plus yards receiving this year? James Cook, Mac Collins, Ray Davis, Dawson Knox. There's more big play element coming from the Bills' underlings at wide receiver than Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
So I'm not scared of Xavier Worthy. And I know I can eat those words, and I'm just going to worry about that part right now. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be your key. Can Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford do what they do and limit the damage that Hopkins does? Here's to hoping. Because that's the big deal.
We hope.
But offensively, you need to be able to solve the Rubik's Cube known as the Chiefs. They're a tough defense. They are very good at what they do. Like I said, Chris Jones is one of the best in the game.
Yeah, he's going to wreak havoc. You already know he is. Especially, the one thing I am looking at specifically in this matchup is their offensive line.
Yeah, it's bad. Pass rusher needs to do their job.
Their edge rushers, their tackles. Are both terrible on both sides. This is going to be a Greg Russo eating fest, I'm telling you right now.
It needs to be.
It has to be. But I think it will be because their tackles are so bad on both sides. You're either dealing with a rookie or someone who's just terrible. So, you know, Von Miller should have a good game too.
Yeah, Wanya Morris has not been good this year. Jawan Taylor is infamous for starting a play early.
They're going to have to set the edge and just win and get to the quarterback. That's going to be it.
That's going to be it. So hopefully that's what they're able to do and continue to put the pressure on. But they also have to be disciplined with it because Mahomes can run with the best of them.
Yeah. Well, you've seen it.
You've seen it. You know it. We've lived it. The only difference is the Bills also have that quarterback that can run around.
Maybe a little more effectively, that run a little more effectively, I should say, than the others. Yes.
We'll come back, and there's still plenty to talk about with this game. There's plenty to talk about with the Sabres as well. If you want to get in here still, there's still a half hour here for you. 803-0550 is the number to call. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Sports Talk Saturday continues on here on the radio home of the Bills and the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's huge. It'll be huge because of their number one in time of possession in the NFL, and that's a critical piece in order to win a game, is to make sure we can win as many of those third downs as possible. They're extremely high level in that window in particular, but also in everything else they do.
Yeah, that was Sean McDermott. My brain's broken because I'm focusing on the song that I haven't played here.
Yes.
Do you know the song?
I've heard it. I know. I don't know it by name, but I know it.
Do you know the band that sings it?
I don't know.
Okay, but you still did better than Zach Jones.
Like, I've heard this. Maybe on the station. That might be why I know it. Is it, No. I don't want to say the wrong band.
If you're going to say all, it's not All the Small Things by Blink-182.
No, absolutely not. I know that song.
Okay, because you were going all... And
all
I was
American
like,
Rejects, I was
no,
thinking.
No, but they don't go as hard.
No, they're not that hard rock. That's why I stopped myself.
Yes.
I'll have to think about that.
Don't worry, my back already hurts. It's Fat Lip by Sum 41.
Okay.
But previous Sports Talk Saturday a couple of years back where Zach infamously had no idea what this song was at all.
He also said that like those all these kinds of songs are like this era of music is literally the same thing.
Yeah, he basically called it like grunge from the 90s.
That guitar lick though I've heard so many times. Yes. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
but again, I already feel old. I know that it just brought back memories of when, where's the cane? Where's Jeremy's cane? Okay, it's not here.
No longer here.
There was a gag gift of a cane that Jeremy was given to by Howard after he turned 40. But I was like, I need that cane right now because Zach made me feel incredibly old. And it made even funnier when Josh knew what the song was. So, yeah, Sean McDermott talked about the Chiefs and quite honestly, like, you can wax poetic about the Chiefs all you want. And it's not even waxing poetic. It's just coach speak of, like, you know, hey, you know, yeah, they're a good team. We got to make sure we get the ball from them. They're one of the top teams in time of possession, which is something that he mentions in the clip. So you have to have your A game against Kansas City. Of course you do. And honestly, I don't blame McDermott for being short on those kinds of answers.
No, I don't either.
Like, it's Kansas City. You hate them.
You see him every year. It's always a big game. Like, it's...
they're the knife wound in the side of your torso. And it keeps coming back every year because they keep stabbing you. Because that's the biggest problem on McDermott's legacy right now is the Kansas City Chiefs. The problem is the Chiefs have been doing this to a lot of teams. The Ravens and Lamar Jackson should have a Super Bowl appearance. The Bills and Josh Allen should have a Super Bowl appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow and the Bengals have one, and they've been riding that for a long time.
Yeah, I'm sick of hearing of that.
Here's why
they beat
able
the Chiefs.
Here's why they're able to. They beat the Chiefs and represented the AFC in the Super Bowl. Because otherwise, it has been them. And before that, Brady. The Chiefs are legacy stoppers right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm not as concerned about this game. Could you get the one seed? Yeah. The Titans have had the one seed before, though.
Yeah, and
Then they sacked Joe Burrow 9 times and still lost.
Still lost the game.
So, like, that's why I'm not as concerned about the one seed. Because the Bills, if they're positioned in the 2, like they're trending, will face a team like Indianapolis or Denver. God forbid the Jets get back in the conversation. Can Cincinnati make it? Yes. Do I think that they will? I mean, it's possible. They are only one game out.
They are, but you never know.
They also have an abysmal conference record again.
Mm-hmm. So any tiebreaker that comes along is not going in their favor.
The Bengals also, by the way, have the worst strength of victory in the entire conference. Their strength of victory is 237. The second worst is the Chargers at 298. But even the Titans have more wins on their victory strength. Like, the Bengals are very much this.
They could do it if they want to, but at the same time, they're in a tough spot, like you said, with their conference record. That might hinder their ability to get anywhere close.
Yeah. I will say, the thing about it is, like, I'm worried about Cincinnati, but I don't know if they've got enough in the tank because their victories are so...
Jamar Chase can't drop 55 fantasy points every week.
But it's also that they're so empty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, their wins are pretty much low quality.
Right. They are low quality. It's just... It's tough because you can't really, I feel like, ruling out Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, that team, who can put it together. You've seen in history put it together. I don't know if you can rule them out, but also their abysmal starts to the season have just killed them. This one's the worst one in recent memory, but this is their history. They do start really poor at the beginning of the season, but they also, they won a lot with a backup quarterback last year, you know? Yeah. So you never know what could really happen. And there's still plenty of time left in the regular season where teams could just stall, fall apart, and they could find their way to sneak in.
Yeah.
Especially divisional matchups, things can get a little interesting, yeah. You know? Especially if they're playing healthy, fully healthy.
Yeah, but again, I'm just, I don't know if I could see the Bengals doing what they need to do and finishing the job. Because they typically don't do well with the Steelers. They've got them twice. They, for some reason, have trouble with the Browns a lot. So, the rest of their schedule is not that easy. Like, you have the Cowboys and the Titans in there, yes, but it might be too much for them. That said, the Bengals will still be a threat. However, these Bengals are not the same as the previous ones.
No.
Their defense can't stop much of anything. So when I say I'm not as scared of Cincinnati, that is because their defense, it has become a turnstile. They're among the worst in the league. The only team in the conference that has allowed more points than the Cincinnati Bengals is Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's terrible. You'd be mentioned in the same conversation, same sentence.
And the only other team that passes the two of them is Carolina. Cincinnati gives up points. That's why I don't trust them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they. You're right. They kind of let teams run the table on them a little bit.
So now, the main crux of this, of course, with the playoff scenario is, if everything trends the way that it should, and I expect Kansas City to keep the one seed, even if the Bills win, because the rest of the league is doing no favors for us. And when I say us, I mean the entirety of the football community outside of Kansas City. But if the Bills are the two, Kansas City's the one, you're still playing the combination of, more than likely, Pittsburgh or Houston or Baltimore. And the AFC North, those two teams, they've clearly shown that they are head and shoulders above the rest. But if Baltimore can't reclaim the division, they might even risk falling to the six.
Yeah, that could be, it's, you're expecting the Bills to maintain at least the two seed.
Yeah.
Which I think they will.
Right.
With the way their schedule looks, I think they might drop another game or two, but I think that'll be enough to kind of keep them in the spot, right?
Right.
that makes sense. I think that middle, the Baltimore, Houston, and Pittsburgh is going to be interesting. And even the Chargers. Who knows? What if they put things together and end up starting to win games, you know?
Well, L.A., they're fine. They're just there.
What's their schedule look like for the rest of the season?
L.A. is okay. Like, the L.A. Chargers are a boring team, low event, and the rest of their schedule does look kind of middling at sorts. You've got the Bengals, Ravens, Falcons, Chiefs, Buccaneers, Bucks. Broncos, Patriots, Raiders. The end of it is very enticing for them.
The end of it is, but also the Buccaneers are nothing to scoff at with Baker Mayfield.
But the thing is that when I remember how I talked about how bad Cincinnati's defense is, that's how good the Chargers' defense is.
Yeah, they can just hold teams
they
out.
They can hold teams out.
For low event offense, they're not going to really have to worry about
they're
it.
They're a peak Greg Roman team. They get in the muck, they make sure you don't score points, and everyone has a bad time watching the Chargers.
Greg Roman, yikes.
Yeah. So now, say the Chargers win in the first round, for example, like as the sixth seed, they beat the three. They'll be the ones that go to Kansas City as the low seed. Do you trust the Chargers to beat Kansas City at all, let alone in the playoffs?
See, the only reason I would even say
my answer is God no.
See, the regular season, I think it might happen only because it is a divisional game, and we've seen firsthand the Patriots that 30-run game on Monday Night Football or whatever that was a few years ago. Divisional games can get funky,
right?
So, like, maybe they can, but it's not the highest probability. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying I'm not ruling it out. Would it be? Would I put my full trust in them? Probably not. But do I have some trust? Sure.
Yeah.
I think divisional games are just weird. That's where I'm at.
They can be weird.
Like Bills Jets.
Luckily, the Bills this year have not fallen into that pitfall yet. You took down Miami twice. Second one was a surviving, but you did it. You took down the Jets once, and you're going to end the season with New England twice and the Jets and the division well in hand by then. It's a matter of you're fighting for seeding. We'll see what happens. I still don't think it's realistic to look at the one seed.
Yeah.
And it has more to do with the rest of the league than it does the Chiefs themselves or even the Bills.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this year you don't have a situation of, hey, two seed are out.
No, don't do that.
Like last year.
Don't. But that's on them if that happens.
It is 100% on them. But
because Bills will have put themselves in the next best position, but then it's your fault if you lose.
Then our hands are in the Tennessee Titans again.
Yes. Like, it's just, you can't have that.
No.
All right. Let me say we wrap this thing up coming up next.
Tie with a little bow. I'm all here.
All right. Here we go. Let's we'll put a pretty little bow on this coming up next here. Sports Talk Saturday, closing things out next on WGR. Last segment here, Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, hanging out with you for the next 5 minutes. All right, so there's a lot that could happen pretty good or bad this weekend now.
Mm-hmm.
Starting tonight with the Sabres Flyers, and of course, Bills Chiefs tomorrow. So there's a lot of potential for woohoo, bonkers, bonanza. Sabres being over 500.
Yes.
Bills beating the Chiefs. Sick.
Yeah. If both those things happen, I'm good.
Now,
there's also the other end.
Something that typically happens, though, when the combination of the two happens, it's usually when they're on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
But the Sabres sometimes often will steal the juju in a regular season game. It's typically when it's higher stakes, though, too. The Sabres will steal a game and the momentum of, like, not the momentum, but like all the good luck and juju.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, the Bills are losing a game that they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like when they were struggling last year, the Sabres would, like, on that win-loss, terrible inconsistency.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't.
And then the next thing you know, the Bills are falling to 6-6 and losing to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh no.
Yeah. 12 men on the field, what? Like, come on.
What do you mean the Sabres beat the Islanders? That's great.
Yeah. Jeez. What a nightmare that was last year.
So typically that's the thing that happens.
I'm happy we're here.
I am happy we're here, though. Because, well, if this goes through the way that it needs to go, Bills and Sabres both taking wins over the weekend, that'd be great. I'm going to be kind of worried about, you know, I talked smack like a segment ago about Xavier Worthy, and I know I'm absolutely going to get buried the minute that that happens, like a deep bomb happens to him. Like, because it's also peak Bills Chiefs that's going to happen. Because, like, a lot of the fan base will, like, implode upon itself. And who has been probably the loudest in the counterculture of that? It's been me. So I'm going to get destroyed. And I'm okay with that. I would rather it not happen. I would totally that it doesn't happen, please. But, you know, you got to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
That said, lock them down.
Yep. Get the dub.
Get the dub.
Both of them.
Get both of them. I'm greedy. Let's go. Let's get both.
Yeah. You know, as much as it wouldn't kill me if they lost, yes. I'd prefer the win. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying I would rather, you know, have that go the other way.
If you had to pick one, and I'm not going to make you pick a favorite child here, but if you had to pick one, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you can.
I think it's tough because the Sabres are kind of on the up and up right now.
The Sabres are on the up and up, but it's also game 18 for them?
Yeah, so...
Game 18.
Yeah, you're not even 20 games into the season.
Yes.
You're not even 25% of the way through.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like, it's tough to look at it, but a Bills win heading towards the playoffs in the second half of the season would be nice to take down.
Heading to the bye week with another win in your belt.
Yeah, especially against an undefeated one seed in your conference would be nice.
Would be really nice. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think there's more at stake there.
Mm-hmm. The Sabres can bounce back.
Sabres can bounce back.
But again, both would be nice.
I'm looking at the Sabres with a, you should win this game because it's on paper the best chance you have to win again. And going out west is always kind of a punishment. You have a chance to get more points here before you have to go out west. Sabres after dark. For the Bills, there's more at stake here, but I also don't think there's as much at stake here.
Right.
Yeah. With Kansas City, if you lose this game, I'll sleep good at night knowing you have a chance to tag them back. And that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you want a chance to tag them back. But the only way you're going to face them in the divisional round this year is if you fall to the four. And there's no way that that's happening with how Houston's playing.
Right. I think we're in good for a good game.
That's what
I would say.
I hope we're in for a good weekend.
I think we'll be okay.
So, for our guest, Joe Yurden, for Evan on the board there, for Joe Kelly, I am Derek Kramer. You've listened to another edition of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Sabres pregame coming up at 6 o'clock. Brian Koziel, Pat Malacaro, Paul Hamilton with you for your pregame. And then, of course, Dan and Rob on the call. Bills pregame. Get started tomorrow morning. I'm here at 9 a.m. for everyone, for better or for worse. And Bills Chiefs, 4:25 kickoff.
CBS primetime, baby. Here we go.
CBS, the national game, and the one that they are going to be in for all of the hype of.
I don't know, Jim.
Protect.
That's what we're going to hear the whole time.
Protect your mentals. Don't ever watch Logan Paul or Jake Paul do things ever again, and have a good weekend.